Everyone, glad that you can all be here. It's a wonderful day to get together to worship the Lord. And just going to start off with a few announcements, things coming up. This Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., we have our midweek prayer meeting. This Saturday at 7 a.m., we have the men's prayer. Also this Saturday, 2 to 5:30 p.m., we have our monthly ministry at the soup kitchen. And if you look in your bulletin here, you can see a description of that. The CBC team works together once a month to put together meals that can be picked up curbside. And please see or talk to Angie Bates to learn more about that. And at this point, we're going to have Don come up and give an announcement for Cultivate Community.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I don't know if... Oh, there we go. Thank you. So the Cultivate Community team is doing their second annual Halloween outreach here at Calvary on Saturday, October 31st. And this is a church-wide outreach opportunity. So the theme is anchored in hope, which will reinforce our theme that Jesus is our hope. The front lawn of the church is going to be decorated in a nautical theme, so ocean and seafaring items. We will be playing Christian music and handing out bags of treats to children who stop by. So there are a few ways that you could participate. One is donating small individual packages of Swedish fish, goldfish, or whale crackers, or chocolate gold coins. They need to be individually wrapped. We will collect these for the next 2 weeks. We'll be collecting them in the wing in like a treasure chest, I believe, of sorts. So you'll see that there soon. You can volunteer at the event, so we won't be handing out the bags to the kids, but we'll be setting them out in different places in different ways, and then just restocking those and being friendly faces as they're stopping by. And we do encourage people to dress up in the nautical theme, but it's not required. There's a sign-up sheet in the wing if you want to help out with that. We're also looking for people to help with decorations or set up and clean up. So we're looking for any ocean or sea life decor that we could use on the front lawn to go with our theme. And of course, we are hoping to just bathe this event in prayer. So we want to surround it in prayer. We want Jesus to be glorified through this and that our hearts will be drawn to know him personally and that we can really just bless our neighbors through this event.
This time we'll let Bob come up and give an update for Missions Moments.
Hey, good morning. Hey. I have a little update from Richard and Ellen Eckhart. And after I give my little update, they actually made a video for us to send to be able to play here. But first, I do have a little bit of an update from them. They had sent me an email, if I can just get up to the right one here. But he actually just finished a 3-month sabbatical. He just said, "Thank you for your email and your request, and thank you for praying for me and Ellen. As noted in our update letter, I completed a 3-month sabbatical on August 31st and have returned to full responsibility at See Jesus. I'm so grateful for the rest and the restoration that those 3 months brought into my life from the hand of our loving Father. I'll be glad to make the video, my ministry and my family. Ellen and I came to Calvary as a recently married young couple in December of 1979, almost 41 years ago as the new assistant pastor and wife. Lost my space here, I'm sorry. As the new assistant pastor and wife. It seems impossible that much time has gone by. I'm deeply grateful that Calvary was willing to invest in us for the number of years as we learned how to serve with you. God continues to use Calvary in our life as we serve in full-time ministry. God is good." So they did prepare a little video for us that we'll try to give you a chance to see now. So, enjoy.
Good morning, Calvary Baptist Church. This is Richard Eckhart. I live outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but I travel the world representing you in order to equip and multiply lovers of Jesus. I want to share my screen with you and show you a little slideshow that I put together. I've been with See Jesus since 2008, but when Ellen and I first got married way back in 1979, a few months after we were married, we moved to Claremont, New Hampshire, and I became the assistant pastor at Calvary. And we have a really a great love for Calvary Church and for Claremont, and wish we could be there face to face. Our family is spread out a little bit. Jake is married to Rachel. They have two little girls, and Juniper and Olivette. They live up in Alaska, far, far away. And then we have Gretchen, and married to Justin. And they have three biological children, Lila, Bryce, and Mercy. They adopted Tristan a little over a year ago. And a month after they adopted him, his half-brother was born in their family 4 days after his birth, Jesse. Due to the fact that he's in foster care, we had to black out or blew out his face. But they're hoping to be able to adopt him as well. And then Caleb and Carrie, along with their daughter Dakota, live very close to us, like Gretchen and Justin. And we enjoy seeing all the grandchildren that live here and near us. As I travel and as I work, I've been able to develop some relationships with different leaders from different parts of the world. Kamal is from Jordan. He has lived in the United States. That's where I first met him. But over the years, I've been able to train him as the Arab World Trainer. He's full-time at See Jesus. And he's helping to teach others our study, the person of Jesus, with and also our praying life materials, with the goal of also training others who can become like him trainers. He's working with the church in Germany that has refugees who speak Arabic from Syria and other places in the Middle East, and teaching them via the internet. Also, my friend Miguel Rivera is a pastor in southern Chile. I first met him in his home church back in around 2011. Since that time, Miguel became a volunteer trainer with See Jesus while being a pastor in Chile, and has gone to different places like Mexico and Spain on our behalf. But in the last 4 months, he has become a part-time member of our staff. Kamal is full-time, Miguel is part-time while being a pastor, and I have invited him to come to the United States, hopefully sometime early next year, to travel to different churches and meet individuals so that he can share his passion for training leaders. He works with three of our cohorts, with people from Venezuela, from Colombia, and from Chile, and training them not only how to teach the person of Jesus material, but also that out of those three cohorts that there would be one or two people who could become trainers to train others as well. And then here's a newer friend of mine, Sami, along with his wife. He's from Egypt and speaks fluent English like Kamal. And Sami wants to learn more about our material, the person of Jesus study and a praying life. And is this a material that he can also not only use to teach other people, but actually train others to use the material? Sami has the passion of training churches in the United States to reach the immigrant Arabic speakers who have moved into our towns and into our communities, and help our churches to reach out to these folks to present Jesus Christ, that they might become followers of Jesus. So our goal through Sami would be, can he use the person of Jesus study in order to help churches around the United States to do that? Another friend that I have is Mirzabek. Mirzabek is in his mid to late 20s. He's from Uzbekistan. He speaks fluent English as well as Russian, Uzbek, Tajik, Romanian. He has graduated from the University of Moldova, where I've been going since 2011. He has his master's degree in biblical studies from Austria. He's working on his PhD at Oxford while he's teaching full-time at UDG in Moldova. We have been talking, Mirzabek and me, how can he be trained as a person of Jesus trainer for See Jesus so that when he returns to Uzbekistan as a university professor on behalf of UDG, moves back to full-time, he would be able to train other people not only to use the material, but also to train some who could become trainers of others. This is why I talk about equipping and multiplying lovers of Jesus. That's our goal at See Jesus. Not merely that we would show people and help people how to see Jesus, but to become like them, and then go another step, that they might be able to help others to see Jesus and become like them. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being a part of this ministry with me, and allowing me to be an extension of your ministry at Calvary. I hope you have a great day. Take care.
All right, and I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 112. Verses 4 through 5 say, "Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion." And if you would, please stand with me. We'll go to God and ask for his blessing on this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it is good to be here, Lord. And Lord, we are honored, Lord, and privileged, Lord, that we can be called your children, Lord. It's far too wonderful to even comprehend, Lord. And this morning, I just pray that you would set our thoughts upon you, Lord. You would help us to see how wonderful you are, Lord, that you would change us to be more like Jesus Christ. Lord, as we sing these songs of praise to you and as we hear from your word, Lord, I just pray that we would direct our thoughts to you and set our thoughts upon you. Please change us with it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Stay standing. We're going to read together Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. And it'll be up on the screen here. All right, let's read together. But now,
thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in your place.
All right, if you would remain standing, we're going to sing our next song. And as we do, the children are dismissed to Children's Church.
Casting out fear.
Kings to come up to give this morning's message.
Yeah, I've got my stick this morning. So you better not sleep out there. Kids, you better behave yourselves too. Yeah, it's actually a pointer. I'm going to try to use it if I need to over here on the screen, but maybe you'll just be able to see it anyway. Good morning. I still don't know if I should greet you in English or in some other language. It's all right. I'll always be African at heart. And this morning I want to begin with an update. We're going to get double missionary update today. How's that? My wife and I want to thank you very much for your continued support for us, even though we are no longer living overseas. We are still serving the Lord, and the Lord hasn't given us many opportunities to travel yet as representatives of Faith Baptist Mission, but we're looking forward to the day when maybe things will get a little easier to travel. And meanwhile, we're home, and we are in need of you. We are a body together. We are members one of another, and it's so good to be brothers and sisters together. Amen? So what's happening in Mali right now? We spent about 28 years in Mali. We left Mali because of unrest and terrorism, and it's not getting better. There was a recent coup, government change, by a military group, and I'm here to report that there's a transitional government now, and just in this past week or so, the sanctions that had been levied against Mali by a West African bloc of over 20 nations, I believe, to put pressure on a transitional government to turn it over to a civil government because it was a military man in leadership. Well, they agreed. And their first great accomplishment, and Mali still needs your prayers, was a prisoner exchange for four hostages that the terrorists were holding in northern Mali. One of them was a Catholic missionary of 75 years old. Two others were Italian missionaries. The third one was a political rival who was kidnapped about 6 months ago. So they exchanged these hostages for, guess what, for 200 jihadists who they had in prison. And they turned them loose and sent them back up north. So Mali still needs your prayers. And we have not finished hearing from the terrorists, I guarantee you that. Meanwhile, the church goes on, and we have national pastors that we're in touch with that we support, and we praise the Lord for that. I'm going to... Can we back that up one time, please? There should be a slide with the outline points. So we just read the passage from Isaiah, chapter 43, and if this doesn't come up, I just wanted to review the 3 points in case we don't get past the pictures, right? If you do have your notes in front of you, there you go. So I've entitled this message, When Waters Run High, and the fire burns hot. And we live in a world, and we live in a country, and we live in community, and we live in families where often waters run high. And we feel like the water is up to our necks, and how are we going to get through? And often we sense that we're under fire, and we're in the fire. And all that's going on in our country today, I believe that it's going to get hotter, and the water is going to get deeper. So this message is as much in preparation for you and me as it is for anyone else. And I did want to apply this. In fact, the motivation some for this message was what's going on in West Africa right now. So how does this passage encourage us? First of all, know the Lord your God, and this is working backwards through the text. This is verse 3. Know the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am, and we'll be coming back to this during our message, but know Him, know who He is. Secondly, rely on His presence. And thirdly, fear not. And we'll be coming back to that, Lord willing. Next, please. So I'm going to start with the fire. Back about 5 years ago, you remember, there were riots in the capital of Niger, where we lived, and over 45 churches were burned by terrorist-motivated gangs of young people. And it started here at the big mosque in the city of Niamey, but with demonstrations. And while the demonstrations were taking place, the gangs of young people were going out through the city, many gangs, and burning churches. Next. These are some pictures you probably haven't seen, and I just got them this week. This was one of our sister churches. The first church, the first Baptist church, actually, in the city of Niamey. Next. And this was outside the building, the pastor's van. Church van. The fire was pretty hot. Next. Churches rebuilt, by the way, and when we left Niger, actually that church that you just saw pictures of was in the process of being rebuilt. And God's work is not done, no matter how bad things get. His work is never done. This is another sister church. And I have shown this picture before, but I got some new updates as to how this church looks today. So this is the pastor standing in what was his office, completely gutted. This is the new sanctuary today. Praise the Lord for the rebuilding. Next, please. And God's work is still going on, and people are meeting and worshiping today in this church. And the pastor is a taxi driver, one that Marcia and I knew there in Niamey. And the first pastor you saw, actually, his wife was so traumatized by the violence, the gangs, the burnings, the threats, and the scribbling on the wall that in Arabic, "We will be back." And they were so traumatized, they actually moved to a new location. They rebuilt a house church, and they're holding services now in another location. So you see how the burnings actually have been to the advantage of spreading the work of God. Next, please. So this is that same church back, just a picture I took just after the burnings. Next, please. This is how it looks today. It's been rebuilt. Praise God. Next. This happened just before we left. I got a picture of a church down in the village area near Makalundi. And arsonists, probably terrorists, we don't know for sure. No one ever claimed responsibility. Burnt this church to the ground. It was made out of wood and sticks, so you don't see much residue, do you? Next. We were able to get materials together. You remember this story, some of you. And just, I think, the day before we left, or 2 days before we left, we sent it on down to the village. And they were able to construct it. This is proof. And just this past week, or very recently, I received this next picture, please. This is that same hangar. They closed it in with grass mats. And now you see about, if you count the adults, there are about 40 adults, plus children that meet in this 20 by 20 shelter. But what an encouragement that these people continue to love the Lord and, in spite of the fire, remain faithful to Him. Next, please. Now we're going to go to the water. When waters run high, and this is the Niger River, and this was actually a picture I took with the SIM pilot that I was with that day. And this shows you the expanse of the Niger River. This is in September, so it's spread out pretty good, but when the waters get even higher, actually that whole basin is full of water, sometimes miles wide. Next, please. I took this picture as well. The Niger River flows right through the city of Niamey. So end of August, early September is when the water is beginning to swell, and it's accompanied by local rains. And when this happens, there is often a lot of flooding. Next, please. The river, along the edge of the river, there are dikes. And these are actually roads, gravel roads, built up to protect villages and rice fields and so on, gardens, on the other side, so that the river, when it gets high, doesn't hurt them. Next, please. So this is a dike on our way to Tugela, and we've come up on the jet ski now. Up the river is high, and you can see the dike in respect to the level of the river at normal high water level. Next, please. Looking now at the people standing on the bank saying goodbye to us after our first visit. Next, please. Standing on the same dike next to another village, standing on top talking with some of the village leaders. Next. This is a recent picture. This is this year. The flood level this year came 2 feet higher than has ever been recorded before since they began recording the height of the river way back in the early 1900s. Incredible. You can see the dike extending along the length of the river. To your right is the main river channel. To the left is, yeah, that's the city of Niamey. And so if you follow this dike, actually to the right, the main river channel goes to the end of the picture and turns right. So all the water to the left is flood water. And you can see the dike is actually broken in the middle. There you can see where the water from the main channel is pouring in. And this pours in for days because this water just extends miles and miles and miles into the lowlands. Next, please. I don't think you'd want to be living in that part of the city. There are collapsed houses, and they say that over 300,000 people are homeless as a result of floods just in the Niamey area. Next, please. The red line is the dike that normally protects the river, that protects the villages. The yellow line actually is around the missionary boarding school, where our grandchildren went to school when Mark and Jessica were out there. And they also had very serious flooding. They were not able to use the school now. They've had to to rent some other buildings in the city to continue schooling this year. Next, please. This is a picture of the campus. When the water was not at its peak, actually, the water came up to 4 and 5 feet high inside some of the classrooms. Next, please. They evacuated some of the equipment by boat on the campus. Next. This is where some of the missionary staff lived, in a compound next door to the school. The water was 3 feet high in the house. Next, please. This is the church on the same compound. Next, please. The dikes that protected the villages, two of the villages where we're evangelizing in, also broke. And looks something like this, although this is not an exact picture of those particular dikes. Next, please. This is the dike next to Gullah, where the dike stopped, and the main river channel is on the right side, and to the left is where the village used to be. I've been writing David, and he sends me pictures and reports. He's the one that's teaching out in the villages now, and I said, David, I said, I want a picture of the village. So he sent me picture after picture after picture, and there's nothing there. I said, David, I don't recognize any of this. He said, this is all that's left. Next. I'm wearing white today because the white represents somebody that's in glory today. You can see here in this picture a lady to the right center in the black, but she got a black scarf on her head. Her hand is lifted high. Her name is Mariama, the first believer in this town. And when the floodwaters came in, she was in her house trying to gather stuff up, and the house collapsed on her. Next, please. This is right next door to where Mariama lives, where we held Bible study and where another man gave us property to use. And we were building a hangar. And this was our first Sunday service. You can see Mariama this time. She's in white next to the lady in the red. Always present at our meetings. You remember Jesus had ladies that ministered to him and housed him and fed him. There are ladies like this, and Mariama is one of those in Gullah. Next, please. There are so many pictures, and as I look back through the pictures, I'd never noticed them so much before, but so many of the pictures have her in it. Here she is. This is our first Christmas celebration in the village after the hangar was built, and here she is with her lady friends. So she's organized a big meal. And there's about a dozen chickens in that pot. And it goes on rice, and it was enough to feed a village of people. Next, please. After the meal and the service, Marcia was there to thank the ladies, and there is Mariama shaking her hand. Next, please. After we left, David sent me these pictures, this picture of him teaching in Gullah, and I have shown this picture many times and never noticed that the lady on the right, yeah, that's Mariama. Always encouraging the children and the ladies, and many, I don't know how many people, have come to faith because of her. Next. And I also received this picture. You can see Mariama to the left of the picture, the one with a big smile on her face. As the group of Bible study students, now many of these are believers, have finished their series, and we give them radios and SD cards to go and share with their family and friends. Next. So Mariama is gone. But the community is still there. Many of them are living. They have no place to go. They live wherever they can find a place, sometimes out under the stars at nighttime. This particular group actually live in a school. And you see the school behind there. The man in the left corner is Mariama's husband, Ibrahim, which is Abraham. Next. Here's Ibrahim thanking us for a small donation. It was huge to them. We divided about $300 among the village community, which is like a drop in the bucket compared to all that they had lost. And here's either $50 or $100, I don't know which, but very, very thankful they can go out now and they can buy some grain. But please be in prayer for the villagers, especially those believers who are living as refugees. But we know that God's promises are true. And they are trusting Him. And the story is not finished yet. Next. This is the village chief from Abadagungu, another one of our villages. And he also was part of a group that received one of those envelopes. Next, please. When the water runs high, you know, there are tears, there are hardships, but there are joys. And this is down in the Makalundi area. This is Pastor Jirigu's church. One of the visits we made, and you can see the churches are down there are just packed. And this church got so big that they had to split the church, build another church. And he just sent me these pictures, I believe, for just this past week. Next, please. When the waters were flooding in Niamey, the same rain waters were forming big rain puddles. And this is where they held baptisms. And so he sent me picture after picture. There were about 30 pictures. And he said there were 22 people. Next, please. 22. Next. 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 That had come to the Lord and they were baptizing. The church is growing. No matter how high the waters are and no matter how hot the fire is. I believe that's the end there for that. Thank you. Now let's get your notes out and we'll fill in the blanks. As I was reading through the scriptures, I came to this passage in Isaiah and I thought how appropriate. I think for you and I today, sometimes our difficulties seem so small when you compare them to these people, but yet we are here. And difficulties sometimes come our way. And sometimes things which seem unsurmountable to us. The prophet Isaiah wants to encourage us. So as we come to this, can we remember that the Lord who is speaking is also the one who created and formed you. We find that in verse 1. But then Psalm chapter 139 reminds us that all of us, for you have formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So not only did God create and form Israel, He has done it for you and I as well. We belong to Him. Next. Sorry. And then he goes on to say, I have redeemed you. Israel's redemption from slavery in Egypt is a picture of our redemption from slavery to sin and Satan by the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank God for the redemption, the freedom, the victory that is ours in Christ today if we know Him, if we trust Him as Savior. I have called you by your name. In the same way that God calls the Israelites by name, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls His sheep by name and leads them out to green pasture in John chapter 10, verse 3. To Him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Does Jesus know you by name today? Do you hear His voice? Do you belong to Him? I trust that it's so. Next, please. Point number one, know the Lord your God. So now we're going down to verse 3. Because I'd like to start backwards here because I think the first emphasis we should place is knowing who the Lord is, and knowing Him personally. God in the Hebrew is the God used in this verse. Let's just read that verse. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word, Elohim. And I've been doing a Bible study on the Hebrew names of God. A very, very rich study. I encourage you to do some study in this. Elohim is the only Hebrew word used for God during the whole account of creation. If you look through chapter 1 of Genesis, every reference to God is the word Elohim. Speaking of God and representing Him as a powerful, the powerful creator God. The Lord your God. So in chapter 2, after the seventh day, when God rested from all of His work, and He saw that all was good, then you begin to see, if you look in chapter 2, that there's the addition of capital L-O-R-D to Elohim. Lord is the Hebrew word Jehovah, or Yehovah. The eternal self-existent one, the great I Am. The relational God, because as we see in chapter 2, the creator, powerful God, begins to relate to His creation. And He forms a garden, and He places man in the garden, and He gives man instructions for his good. And He continues to communicate and relate to man. Aren't you glad today that God wants to relate to you? Yes. Amen. If it wasn't for the fact that He didn't love me and wants to relate to me, I don't know where I'd be today. In relation to this, we're coming to that. The Holy One of Israel. Holy meaning set apart from all others, unique, without sin or weakness, unlike any other. The one and only true God. If you look down in Isaiah 43, let's read verses 10 to 15. And the Holy One of Israel is a theme of Isaiah, and I think is something that you and I need to meditate on and think about and keep center in our lives. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. I want you to notice the personal relation that the Lord wants to have with His people. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. If you know the Lord in your life, you are His witness today too. You're the witness of all that He has done in your life. You're a witness of what God is doing to answer prayer in your life. Have any of you been seeing God answer prayer? I sure have. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Verse 13, indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? COVID-19, flooding, hurricanes, fires. A lot of these, I honestly believe, is a hand of judgment against a disobedient, unbelieving people. And as Pastor pointed out last week, God is the author of good for His people. Everything, all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And you know that even the difficulties and the judgments which are taking place in our world today are working out for the good of God's people. I want you to think about that. We can trust God, and as we've seen Him do it in Africa, God is at work in your life and in my life today to help us through these difficulties. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works what? Patience. Perseverance. And perseverance, when it has finished its work, will produce in you perfection and completeness, lacking nothing. Praise God. So I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, personal, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, verse 15, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Amen. Your Savior. If we look at the Holy One of Israel, your Savior is the last word that qualifies. Who is this God that we should know? From a compound Hebrew word, Yeshua, from two words, Yah, meaning Yahweh, Jehovah, and Shua, salvation. Comes from a Hebrew name, Joshua, from which comes the Hebrew name Joshua, which when transliterated into English is Jesus, meaning Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, the embodiment of God in the flesh. He is our salvation. He is Jehovah, Yahweh. Amen? If we know Him, that's the first step to finding victory in difficulty. Secondly, let's rely on His presence. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Now let's back up to verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. This is a promise that we can count on. And so many times in Scripture, there are promises that I will be with you to the end of the world. I will never forsake you. No, I will never let go. Are you listening to me back there? You know what? When God gets a hold of your life, you can count on Him keeping you for eternity. He is never going to let you go. And you know what? He has given you the Holy Spirit to live in your life as proof that He loves you, that He's going to keep you, that you belong to Him. We might slip up, we might fall, we might become discouraged. But you know what? That doesn't change a thing with respect to our relationship, our eternal relationship to God. Rely on His presence. He is with us. Psalm 57, verse 1 and 2, is when David was running from Saul in the wilderness, David said, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Have you been in a situation where you felt God's presence and you were in, like, in His shadow, under His wings? I have. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, directly from the passage, when the waters run high, my friends, and the fire burns hot, when we know the Lord our God, when we rely on His presence, we're not going to rest in fear. When it says fear not, you know, I don't think it's going to take away from the fact that initially, humanly, in our flesh, when something happens, like, you know, someone screams right behind you, or the car makes a sudden skid and it looks like you're going to go straight off the road into that tree, there's fear. It's unavoidable. But you know what? Are we going to allow ourselves to continue to live under the control of that fear? No, we do not have to. We do not have to. And that's what it means here, fear not. David knew what it was like to be afraid. Saul was after him. He tried to go to the Philistines to try to get away from Saul. When he went to the Philistines recognized him, said, "Oh, this is David, this is the great warrior." And they kept him. They wouldn't let him leave. He was held hostage. And while he was there, he wrote Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. And teaches us how trust dispels fear. He says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." David doesn't say you'll never be afraid. He says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear." I will not continue to live in fear. I will not let fear dominate my life and control me. What can flesh do to me? Some of you may have heard the story. I want to go back to the day when my wife and I were at a prayer meeting, and we came out from the missionary prayer meeting and we looked and we saw the smoke on the horizon there of the city. We found out later that those were the churches burning. So we got in a vehicle to go home. The roads were blocked. There were tires burning. There were demonstrations. We actually had to make a U-turn and go up over the median strip. Thank the Lord for a good four-wheel drive vehicle with lots of clearance. And we made a U-turn. We went back to Sahel Academy where the prayer meeting was. We stayed there a few hours. We had lunch. And then we tried again. This time we were able to take back roads and we made it home. At that point, we had no idea of the extent of the burnings. We only heard rumors that, yes, there were some churches burning. So we went in the house. We were settling in for the afternoon. And all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. We went out. It was the guard from next door, the mission compound next door, and he said, you need to take cover. There's a gang of young people on its way down the street. There was a church within a few hundred feet of our mission house, and there were mission offices and mission housing there as well. So I remember sitting with my wife, and we held hands and we prayed. And we were fairly close to the road, so we were not sure whether we should leave the house, but we didn't know where to go. So we just stayed in the house, and we trusted the Lord. The day went on, and we never heard anything more. Well, over the next couple of days, this is what we found out that happened. The guard of the church that was right next to our house was standing out behind the church and kind of peeking behind the corner, saw a motorcycle with two people on pull up in front of the church and stop in the road. The man on the back had a can of gas. This is what they did. They were prepared to wait for the mob, which was coming behind them, who would come and break into the church, steal everything that was there that they wanted. Then they would douse it with gasoline, set it on fire. He waited. And he waited. And this is while we were praying and didn't know what was happening. And the mob never came. And we learned later that there were local guards up the road because the U.S. Embassy was up the street, and the mob would have to walk right by the embassy. And there were guards that stepped out in the road in front of the mob and were able to stop the mob from coming any further. And but you know, whether the mob would come and burn the church or burn our house, or even worse, God's word never changes. And God has his way of letting us know he is with us, letting us know that we can trust him, and letting us know that we do not need to live in fear. So we close our service today. I'd like you to stand, please. I hope that the Word of God has been working in your life and in your heart as it has mine. I would like for us to read together Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. I'd like you to take comfort in the reality of these verses in light of the testimonies that we have heard, our brothers and sisters in Africa. Some of you have given testimony as well and know, have spoken of God's work in your life. We praise God. Let's read this together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Thank you. Remain standing, and let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for your word. Thank you for who you are. Oh, Father, help us to trust your power. Help us to trust your presence and rely on you. Help us, Lord, to deal with fear that seems natural in our lives at times, Lord, and the anxiety and the uncertainty that we face. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love you together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we could hear your word this morning, Lord. We thank you that you are creator of all, Lord. We thank you that you're in complete control. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you and that we don't need to fear. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to reflect on all that was said today as we go about our week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.